Marco.
Sean.
How's your connection?
Connection is great. I'm on a browser.
is it traveling underseas across over to, Singapore maybe, this line?
That's direct connection with Singapore. I always have a direct connection with Singapore.
That's a great place, I have to say. It's a great place. It's been too long since we've been in Singapore, but we get to meet new friends from Singapore who do some really cool things.
Yep. And this time they're coming to visit us.
They're going to come visit us? Well, I don't know if they're coming to visit us, but
well, not us necessarily. They're going to come this side of the world.
That's right. That's right. And we're talking about the team at SquareX, and more specifically, we have Vivek Ramachandran on. How are you, Vivek?
Doing great. Sean, Marco, thanks so much for having me on the show. It's an honor and a privilege.
Yeah, we're excited for this conversation. If you haven't figured it out, those listening and watching, we're on the road to RSA conference. This is part of our coverage, and we get to have a chat with Vivek to hear all about what he's up to and what the team is up to and what you might experience if you happen to stop by their booth at the RSA conference. So before we get into all the fun stuff you're working on, maybe a little bit about some of your journey leading you to SquareX. I know you've been an innovator, done a lot of things. Maybe highlight some of your accomplishments and milestones over the years.
Yeah, absolutely. So Sean, I've been in cybersecurity now for 20 years running. Started off as a developer, but very quickly figured out that I enjoyed breaking systems more than making them. And, I think 3 years into a developer job, I used to work at Cisco Systems. I decided to go full time, into security research. I was lucky to work with, one of the pioneers in wireless security, Airtight Networks. And that was the place where I discovered a bunch of new attacks, cafe latte and whatnot. And then I got so hooked to it that I just decided to, start a security research and a training company. And, started off as securitytube.net, became securitytube training, eventually Pentester Academy. And, Pentester Academy, I kind of grew it almost for 7 to 10 years. We had, Fortune 500 customers, government agencies, and whom not. And eventually that company got acquired by Providence Equity, who were doing a roll-up strategy with IME. And during that time, I also built a Wi-Fi monitoring product, which I sold to government agencies exclusively. So, during that time, spent so much time with red teamers, understanding attacks, helping them build attacks to demonstrate internally. That post that, I thought I'd probably take a break. Everybody at home was like, hey, enough of long hours. But, once an entrepreneur and researcher, I guess, it's just wired into you forever. Suppose that, one thing after the other, started SquareX, and, now we are here.
So I get in my head how you started building things, then breaking things, then realized maybe it was too easy to break things, and you wanted to figure out a way to protect Sting from getting broken. So it's kind of like you find the next easy thing to break, and you try to make it a little bit better. Is that what's in your head? Is that how you think?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think so. I've always been behind challenges. And I think at one point, breaking into systems, breaking technologies was a very big, interesting challenge, which I did like over a decade. And then I quickly realized, actually the defender's job is really way more difficult, because the attacker only has to win once, the defender has to win always, right? So mathematically, really, if you went on the defender's side and started building products, that is a way steeper curve and a way more difficult challenge. So I said, okay, why not just change my hat, black to white to blue, whatever you want to call it, and and then try to see how it feels on the other side.
So you're hacking hats now. I love it. So where does this spirit of innovation come from, and what led you? I'm sure it's based on experience and conversations and things like that, but how did the innovation for SquareX come to be?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, Sean. So I think, when I was doing Pentester Academy, we primarily were doing red team training. And at that time, we used to have a lot of these teams come to us and say, look, we use endpoint security, you know, we use SASE, SSE, SWGs. And I still feel like, you know, we are wide open to attacks. Vivek, could you help us, you know, show demonstrations within the company so that, you know, we could have our, you know, CISOs and, you know, management go ahead and invest in more, you know, people, process, security, some combination of that. So it was that time that I suddenly saw that when you look at web browsing, you know, for enterprise users, I felt like the security products which were around at that point weren't really good enough. And it was really quite trivial to go ahead and, you know, attack enterprise users. So I started looking at it and I said, okay, is there a way to protect? And that is really where kind of the inquisitiveness and the research aspect began. And, you know, after selling the company and exiting the acquirer, I spent a good amount of time with a very small team just looking at the problem, trying to see if this was even solvable. And when I felt we had made reasonable progress, that was the time I, you know, incorporated the company, you know, raised, you know, funding from Sequoia Capital Southeast Asia. And again, you know, here we are.
Well, it's good to good to validate what you're looking at. Of course, that helps certainly not just raise funds, but actually acquire customers and then ultimately the outcome help them, right? If you have the good input from them. What were some of the challenges? So you kind of touched on the threat aspect of it. They deployed a lot of stuff yet still felt exposed. Was it really tech oriented, the challenge, or were there other parts? Maybe kind of paint that picture for us. What teams were struggling with mostly?
Yeah, so I think, you know, what's been happening is over the last few years, if you look at, you know, enterprise secure browsing, primarily people have depended on, you know, secure web gateways, which have been part of SASE and SSE. And really secure web gateways, you know, for the uninitialized is basically a cloud proxy, which does SSL interception. And when that happens, it starts to look at that traffic and see if there are any attacks probably happening against end users. Now, if we look at it, it almost sounds, I mean, at least in my humble view, counterintuitive, because you are looking at network traffic and you're trying to infer application layer attacks. So we can already see the huge gap between, you know, what you're analyzing and what you're trying to detect. Now, you know, that was also a time when there was a huge push for cloud security and, you know, the cloud scrubbing all your data, malware, everything over there. So I guess everybody just went with it. And cloud security is great for a lot of problems. But what we figured was when it comes to protecting end users online, unfortunately, by just looking at HTML, CSS, and JavaScript traffic, it is just not possible to infer, you know, many application attacks. And now with attackers getting more and more sophisticated, and the bar for writing code has substantially come down with, you know, code LLMs, ChatGPT, and whatnot, we've started sensing that, hey, you know, there's going to be a bunch of very big attacks, and unfortunately, existing solutions aren't equipped. On the other front, you know, people have also relied on endpoint security, right? So it's either the cloud guys or the endpoint guys. And Sean, Marco, what's unfortunate is endpoint security solutions primarily look at file and process to decide if something is an attack. And they have absolutely zero visibility into what is really happening in the browser. So, you know, an endpoint security solution, if one of your users was targeted on LinkedIn, you know, with a message and a malicious file, and he ends up downloading it, what endpoint security just tells you is, hey, Chrome was used to download a file. That is it. Now, you absolutely have no clue. And we all know what happens when you finally go to the employee and say, hey, this malicious file, where do you get it from? Right? People don't remember, or, you know, even if they do, they flat out deny. So these were all the challenges where we felt like, you know, attack, I think the whole attribution of how an attack happened against one of your enterprise user online, that is currently almost impossible to do. And that is a very big challenge that enterprises face.
It's almost hard to believe that we haven't thought about that earlier. because I'm thinking a metaphor to say, you know, usually said, oh, you know, cars, security, one thing and another. And the only thing that came in my mind is the browser. It kept coming back in my mind. The browser, that's where everything happened. That's the way you get the social engineer. That's where you get access to your email. That's what it's, yeah. Sometimes you have to look at the things that are more obvious, I guess, and we don't.
Exactly. And Marco, my hypothesis there is what happened is in between, there was such a massive push to the cloud that people just stopped thinking about things running on the endpoint and felt like, you know what, the cloud is going to do its job. We're going to filter everything that goes in and out from these endpoints, and that is good enough. Absolutely forgetting that there are entire attacks which can just live and die within the browser. I mean, you don't need to now download a piece of malware which steals credentials by installing on the host. You could just end up installing, you know, one of these ChatGPT extensions, and that can just steal all your credentials right there in the browser as you interact with websites. And, you know, this is something endpoint security, you know, the SWGs absolutely won't have any inkling about.
And let's not forget that even if it looks like an app sitting on the desk endpoint, it could very well be a very small client that's hosting a browser, right?
Absolutely.
And it's basically just a browser wrapped in a client and piece. And so all the same things are fair game in those environments as well.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right, because what's been happening is everything has just become a thin client to a backend web API, right? So progressive web apps, you know, when you install them, seems like a local application, but really all it is doing is talking over APIs to the backend. And literally everything is webified now, right? Like, you know, with SaaS and all of that. I actually, apart from the browser and maybe Outlook, I don't remember any other application that people use on an ongoing basis, which is probably installed on the computer.
Interesting. So let's go to what is about to happen. So we're telling a story now, which is pre-event. Well, I'm going to unveil that we will tell another story when we're there. We're going to sit down with you. Actually, Sean is going to do that on Broadcast Alley. So we're going to get maybe a little bit deeper into this conversation. So what I want to use this for is to, first of all, invite people to come and visit SquareX at the booth. And so a little teaser on what people can do there, who they're going to find. I know you're coming with the team and you have a place, a booth. So how are you going to welcome everybody interested in learning what you guys do?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're going to welcome everybody with open arms. you know, the whole team is flying down. We couldn't be more excited. So we've been working very, very hard for the last 1.5 years on solving this problem. You know, many challenges, you know, the browser itself was never meant to carry a security product. So a lot of tribal knowledge and all of that gained along the way. And at the booth, Marco, what we plan to do is allow people to come in, test drive the product live. So, you know, this isn't going to be just a dummy enterprise portal where you just make a few clicks, you know, no staged data. We will literally give you a laptop, you know, allow you to simulate attacks, and we will show you live how SquareX is able to detect all of that and, you know, show you all of those insights, attack graphs and whatnot. Apart from that, I guess, you know, for CISOs or heads of security who love what they see at the booth and would want to sign up for a pilot, you know, we can immediately sign you up right there and post call and post RSA, you know, sit down with you, run your broader teams through, you know, how we could go about the process. So, yeah, I mean, super excited to get to interact with the whole industry at RSA.
Yeah. And what's the booth number, Vivek?
I forgot the most important piece of information.
Where they find you?
I mean, yeah, RSA isn't a place you want to wander around searching SquareX, right? Yeah, so we are booth 336, Moscone Center South. And yeah, you should be able to reach us. And yeah, if you want to set up a time, we're going to be posting, you know, a link on all of our social media channels later today. And you can even book an appointment, or you could just, you know, walk in whenever you get time.
Perfect. Perfect. And of course, we'll include links to your site and links to your directory page, so everybody can grab those links where you'll be and watch and listen to all the stories that we share from you as well. I'm excited, Vivek, for our deeper conversation. Marco stopped me. You could tell I was gonna head down and get into all the fun nitty gritty stuff. That's for you to do with people on the show floor. They need to come see you. And at the end of the day, was it Wednesday, 4:30 local time there, you and I get to sit down in Broadcast Alley. We're in Moscone North at the entrance to Expo Hall there, just at the bottom of the escalators. So if people want to come by and say hi and wave at us and hear what we have to talk about while we're doing it, I would encourage everybody to do that. And of course, the main thing is to meet Vivek in person there as well. So we're going to get into
it. You know what, Sean? Oh, I'm going to give you one more question. How about that? Yeah, I know you love that. I want to change the game here.
How are you going to change it?
Go for it.
All right. I think we'll cover more of this. Let's tease when we talk next time. Let's tease one scenario in one sector that you think is worth highlighting now, where teams are struggling with this and SquareX can really produce a nice outcome for them.
Yeah, and I could give you a very simple case study in the sense that, you know, so people can visualize the attack itself. And this is something, you know, we recently helped someone with. So imagine that, you know, you have a big sales team and sales teams are always hunting for, you know, more prospects. But now an attacker ends up sending an attachment, you know, on LinkedIn direct messages to a bunch of your sales guys saying, hey, open up the document and, you know, this has all the details about, you know, what we need. Now, can you imagine a single sales guy in the whole world who wouldn't enthusiastically just download it and try to open it up, right? And this happened, and you know, they were lucky that endpoint security was able to figure out that there was something malicious. But unfortunately, after that, no sales guy seemed to have like any recollection of what happened. And this is really where, you know, because they deployed SquareX, it was very easy for them to go through this entire attack graph. And we literally show you a live video of how the whole attack happened, because we can reconstruct that. So this is a little bit of like a teaser, is if you wanted to look at this specific use case and a lot of these, you know, which have been obscured so far from the enterprise team's visibility, come down, you know, we'll show you some really amazing things which will blow your mind.
Yeah. Very cool.
Great example. So we're gonna uncover more of those scenarios and use cases, and I think I also want to get into, I love having this conversation as well. Security programs are broad, and I want to understand how SquareX fits into the bigger picture from a deployment and management and monitoring and reporting and response. And so we're going to get into all that when we talk next time as well. And yeah, so that's on Wednesday. You're going to be there all week at RSA conference. I don't think we should give any more secrets away, Marco.
No. We're done. I think people at this point are going to be very intrigued by this conversation. And I think there is a lot of question mark that people can try to get an answer. And that's going to happen by listening to our next conversation and coming to the booth and visit you and your team. So I'm going to invite everybody to do so. In the notes of this podcast on YouTube, if you're watching the video, are going to be the link to the landing page for SquareX, where they can already, you know, get informed. So they'll have a specific list of questions when they meet with you, where they come prepared. And we're going to keep going with other coverage, other conversation before the event. And of course, during the event, I know I looked at our agenda. It's pretty busy. So get ready for a lot of content.
Exactly. And the one thing I'll point out as we close here is that I can have 100 conversations, and it's the one that you have, listener, has with Vivek that's really going to matter, because every company is different. Hopefully this gives you a sneak peek. Our next conversation, we'll get into more general operations. we'll kind of give you a broader view. And then it's really about connecting with Vivek and having your own conversation as well. So Vivek, thanks for sharing the story with us. We look forward to seeing you in San Francisco. Safe journey for you and the team. And appreciate you being on ITSP Magazine.
Yeah, thanks so much, John, Marco, for taking the time. You know, me and the team, we really appreciate it. And yeah, super excited to be on the live show, you know, face to face, literally 10 days from now.
I know.
Yeah, and
it's there.
Yeah. Right there. Thank you so much.
It's happening. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Thanks, everybody. Stay tuned. We'll see you in San Francisco.